Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 42, beginning with verse 5. If you'd like to join along in a pew Bible or your own Bible, Isaiah 42, verse 5. But before we read God's word, let's once again go to him in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your word. And we pray this morning, Father, that as we hear your word, we pray that you would be our teacher. We pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher, that your Spirit would give us ears to hear, that your Spirit would seal your word upon our hearts. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Isaiah 42, beginning with verse 5. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our New Testament reading comes from the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. Chapter 13, we're continuing our study of the book of Acts. We're in chapter 13, beginning with verse 44. We'll be reading through the end of the chapter, Acts 13, beginning with verse 44. The next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began to contradict what was spoken by Paul, reviling him. And Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, saying, "It was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you, since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, 'I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth.' And when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord, and as many as were appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was spreading throughout the whole region. But the Jews incited the devout women of high standing and the leading men of the city, stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and drove them out of their district. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and went to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, Paul and Barnabas were in the mountains. They were in the mountains of southern Turkey. Now, 2,000 years ago, this was the region of Galatia. It was controlled by Rome. It was governed by Rome. So Paul and Barnabas were in the mountains in Galatia, and they were in the city of Antioch. They'd only been there about a week, and now they were leaving. But they were not leaving by their own choice. They were being driven out of the city. They were being forced out of the city. They were being persecuted by a hostile crowd. Now, what had happened? How did it come to this? Well, only a few months before this, only a few months before they were being driven out of a city, they had been ministering in another Antioch, another city of Antioch. Paul and Barnabas had been preaching and teaching in a thriving, urban, multicultural, multi-ethnic missional church until they were sent. They were sent by God, and they were sent by that church on a mission. And that mission that they were sent on was to proclaim the gospel, to proclaim the good news that God himself had come in Jesus, that Jesus really was the long-awaited, long-promised Messiah, that he was the Christ. sent by God, a descendant of King David. And although he was innocent, Jesus was sentenced to death. He was executed on a cross. But God raised him on the third day. Jesus is alive. Jesus is resurrected. So Paul and Barnabas were sent to proclaim that and to proclaim the good news that through his death and through his resurrection, God offers forgiveness of sins and life. He offers you forgiveness of sins and life. Life in him, life after death, life forever with him. Jesus gives what the law of God could not give, could never give, righteousness, which makes you right with God and a child of God, so that in Jesus Christ, you have a heavenly Father who has an abundant, overflowing love for you. And all you need to do is receive. All you need to do is receive this gift by faith. God gives it freely. Believe, and it's yours. Well, this was the good news that Paul and Barnabas were sent to proclaim. This was the good news that was foretold in the Old Testament. This was the good news in the yet-to-be-written New Testament. This was the word of the Lord. So beginning on the island of Cyprus, these first missionaries, Paul and Barnabas, they traveled by ship, and then they traveled by foot to the city of Antioch. Shortly after arriving, Paul and Barnabas entered the city's synagogue. On the Sabbath day, on the seventh day of the week, they went to the synagogue to worship. And during that service of worship, they were asked if they could offer a word of encouragement. So Paul recognized an opportunity. Paul stood up and Paul preached. Paul proclaimed God's word. He proclaimed the gospel that these Jews and these God-fearing Gentiles had never heard. And as the service ended, all of those who were present, they begged Paul and they begged Barnabas to return the next week, to come back to the synagogue, to come back on the next Sabbath to speak to them more about Jesus Christ. So 1 week later, the next Sabbath, Paul and Barnabas came back. They returned, and they were not alone. Listen again to verse 44. This is verse 44. The next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. Almost the whole city was present. Now surely this is a bit of overstatement for effect. And the whole city could not fit in the synagogue, but it makes a clear point. A whole lot of people came. A whole lot of people came. Hundreds of people showed up at the synagogue. A lot of Gentiles showed up at the synagogue. Now, it would be like this. Imagine coming here next week for worship and finding this church. It would be great. Finding this church overflowing with people. Overflowing with people. Where you pulled in and the parking lot was absolutely full, which means this for some of you, your parking place was taken. That you saw a crowd lined up outside the doors, lined up waiting to get in. The pews were packed, which means this, for some of you, your seat was taken. There were people seated on the floor. There were people standing against the walls. And here's the other thing. You didn't know any of them. You didn't know them. Well, that's exactly what it was like in Antioch on that Sabbath day in the synagogue for the regular Jews who worshiped there. To show up to their place of worship, to have it packed, to not have their seat, and to not know hardly anybody there. Now, people came, and they came to hear. But don't miss what they came to hear. It's very clear what they came to hear. They didn't come to hear news from distant lands, and Paul and Barnabas were from far away. They did not come to hear an eloquent speaker. They didn't come to be entertained. They didn't come to hear Paul, and they didn't come to hear Barnabas. It says that they came to hear the word of the Lord. They came to hear the word of the Lord. They gathered to hear God's word. They wanted to hear about Jesus. They were hungry to hear about Jesus. And so Paul and Barnabas began preaching. They began preaching the word of the Lord. They began teaching God's word. They began proclaiming Jesus Christ. And while they were proclaiming Jesus Christ, they were interrupted. They were stopped. And they were stopped by the Jews of the synagogue, who began opposing Paul, contradicting Paul. Contradicting him probably over, it doesn't say, but they were contradicting him probably over Jesus' identity as God in the flesh. They were probably contradicting Paul over the law and the role of the law. They were probably contradicting Paul over Gentiles and over Gentiles' ability to be in relationship with God. And now we're told not only did they oppose Paul's message, not only did they contradict Paul's message, but they also slandered him. It says they reviled him. Now this word translated revile is the Greek word that's the Greek word blaspheme. That's what the Greek word is, blaspheme. It's a forceful term. And whenever referring to God, it's just transliterated as blaspheme. Now, blasphemy is when God is slandered. Blasphemy is when God is cursed instead of honored and blessed. And this word is certainly used on purpose because in rejecting Paul, they're rejecting God's word. In rejecting Barnabas, they're rejecting the word of the Lord. And what motivates their attack? What motivates their contradiction? Well, we're told it's jealousy. Jealousy. They were filled with jealousy. They saw the crowd in the synagogue on that Sabbath, and they were jealous. They saw the overflowing synagogue, and they were jealous. They saw all these Gentiles who had come to hear God's word, and they were jealous. Jealousy drove them to rejection. Have you ever been there? Where you were jealous. So much so that you ignore or snub or shun a person or a group or an organization. Well, such opposition neither hindered nor dismayed Paul and Barnabas. Such opposition neither intimidated nor paralyzed Paul and Barnabas. They continued speaking, and they continued speaking boldly. Now, the gospel has and the gospel will face opposition. It has always been, and it always will be until Jesus comes again. This is true here, and it's even worse in other parts of the world. There are nations and there are groups of people that are hostile to Christianity who not only reject Christianity, but they oppose Christianity. Now, maybe you've faced opposition for your faith. And that opposition could simply be in a quiet rejection, or it could be an outright hostility toward you for following Jesus. Now, if you haven't been, chances are you will at some point. But don't be dismayed. Don't be intimidated. And don't fear. And nothing can separate you from God's love. Nothing. That's what Paul writes in Romans. Nothing can separate you from God's love. So shine your light boldly. That's what Paul and Barnabas did. And as we read through the book of Acts, we'll see that's what they continued to do. Listen to verse 46 again. Paul and Barnabas speak these words to those who are contradicting them, to those who are reviling them, to those who are opposing them. They say, "It was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you, since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we are turning to the Gentiles." Now this became Paul's pattern in his missionary journeys. He would first seek out Jews. He would go to the synagogues. And if they rejected the gospel, if they opposed the gospel, he would then go to the Gentiles. And indeed, that was the mission that Paul and Barnabas were given. They were given this mission by God. They said that they were commanded by God in the scriptures to go to the Gentiles. So after telling the Jews that they would go to the Gentiles, they quote Isaiah 42. That was our Old Testament reading this morning. In Isaiah 42, God speaks through his prophet Isaiah about his servant. God speaks about the servant that he delighted in, the servant upon whom he sent a spirit, the servant who would be a light for the Gentiles, who would open the blind eyes of the Gentiles, who would bring the Gentiles out of the darkness of prison. And of course, that prophecy, that servant was Jesus, who is the light of the world. But Paul and Barnabas say that this passage also gives them their mission. That gives them their marching orders. Yes, it was fulfilled in Jesus, but they are taking the good news of Jesus. They are taking the gospel to the Gentiles. Paul and Barnabas are light because they are reflecting the light of the world. They're reflecting Jesus. And that's what God calls us to do too, to reflect the light of the world. You're to reflect the light. Reflect it in your homes. Reflect it in your neighborhoods. Reflect it in the communities that you live in. Reflect it in their place of work. Reflect it in your school. And reflect it through your actions. Reflect it through your words. Reflect it through your demeanor. Just reflect the light of the world. Well, after Paul and Barnabas declare this, listen again to how the Gentiles reply. This is verse 48. Listen to verse 48 again. And when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord, and as many as were appointed to eternal life believed. And when the Gentiles heard that the gospel was for them, when the Gentiles heard that the word of the Lord was for them, when the Gentiles heard that they did not have to first become Jews in order to follow Jesus, they rejoiced. They rejoiced because the light was for them. They rejoiced because Jesus had come for them. They rejoiced because salvation was for them, that they too could be children of the Father. And they glorified God's word. They honored God's word because this was the word of life. In this word is found life. And it's a word that many of us take for granted. We have access to the scriptures in a way unknown to the entire history of the world. We right now, you have unlimited access to countless versions of scriptures at your fingertips. No, at no time in any other place in the history of the world has that ever been possible. For you to read God's word in as many different versions as you want. If you want to learn Greek or Hebrew, you can just do it online. You can just read online. But the question is, we have so much access to it, but the question is, do you read it? Do you rejoice in it? These Gentiles were rejoicing in it because it was for them. Do you glorify it? The Gentiles in Antioch did. Because they believed. They came to faith in Jesus. And how many came to faith in Jesus? It says this, as many as were appointed to eternal life believed. As many as were appointed to eternal life believed. What is talked about here? This is election. The doctrine of election. And what it means, it simply means that God is in charge, that God is in control, that God is in charge of salvation, that God appoints to eternal life. It's the foundation of grace, meaning this, if salvation is a gift of love from God, and it is, if salvation is a gift of love from God, and if you have done and can do nothing to earn your salvation, if your salvation is totally of God and not of you, then God appoints. God appoints his people. And he appoints them out of love. So then the question is, how do you know if you're appointed? Do you have to worry over this and gnaw on your fingernails over this and stay up late at night over this? How do you know if you're appointed? How do you know? Well, the answer is faith. If you believe in Jesus Christ, if you have faith, then you are appointed to eternal life. And that should give you great joy. Because that means that there is absolutely nothing that you can do to take that away from you. You can't do anything because it's all of God. That means nobody else can do anything to take that salvation away from you because it's from God and it rests in God. That should give you joy and comfort and assurance. Now, notice too that it's almost a side comment, and this almost side comment comes in the middle of mission. Evangelism. So God appoints, but the means that he uses to carry it out is the word of God. It's evangelism. So like Paul and Barnabas, we are to reflect the light. And we can reflect that light with joy. With joy. It doesn't have to be a burden. It doesn't have to be a weight. And here's what I mean. You've heard me say this before, but the eternal salvation of those that we come in contact with isn't on our shoulders. It's not on us. We don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to be persuasive about your faith. You don't have to be convincing about your faith. You've just got to be faithful. Faithful. You just have to reflect the light, and then God will act. God will act. God acted in Antioch, and he acted through the ministry of Paul and Barnabas. Many Gentiles came to faith. Many Gentiles believed. The church was planted. The church grew, and we're told that the word of God spread throughout the region, not just in the city, but the word of God spread throughout the region. But we're told this, that the Jews of the city, continuing to be jealous, they stirred up opposition, they stirred up persecution, and they drove Paul and Barnabas out of the city. They forced them out of the city. They forced them to move on. But listen again to the last verse. Verse 52. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. In the midst of opposition, in the midst of persecution, with the loss of the two individuals that brought them the gospel for the very first time, these new disciples, these new followers of Jesus Christ, they weren't dismayed, they weren't intimidated, they weren't fearful, they were filled with joy. They were joyful. They were filled with the joy of salvation. They were filled with the joy of Jesus Christ. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. God was with them. And God is with you. God is with you. As a follower of Jesus, you too are filled with the Holy Spirit. You are filled with the Spirit of the living God. So go forth with joy. Filled with joy. And go forth boldly, reflecting the light of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that you have sent Jesus, the light of the world. And in him and through him, you have given us salvation. Thank you, Father, for the grace that you've poured out upon us, the love that you've poured out upon us through your Son. Father, help us to go forth with joy, knowing that we are filled by your Spirit in order to reflect the light so that others might see your Son, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.